You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. It was the last week of first grade, school field day. My daughter's entire elementary school was outside burning some energy off with some races and games. And I gotta say, that's a genius move by the teachers, because no classroom could contain those summer vacation vibes, right? I mean, the kids are basically feral at that point in the school year. And I was off to one side of the chaos, chatting with some of the other parents who had showed up for the festivities. And we weren't really paying attention. You know, we were kind of part of the problem, right? And there was some indistinct chatter coming through like an underpowered megaphone that looks a lot like that one, actually. And all of a sudden, bang! The starter's pistol went off. And can we just agree that we didn't really need a starter's, like an official starter's pistol for an elementary school field day? With no timekeepers, what are we doing with a starter's pistol? It seemed intense. It seemed a bit much to me. But it's a really good thing, because it got everyone's attention, including mine. And my eyes darted over. I would have missed the main event, the 50-yard dash. And I saw my daughter Tatum shoot off the starting line like she had been shot out of that starter's pistol. And she was just flying down the race, five steps ahead, and then 10 steps ahead. This wasn't even close. And I'm that dad now, right? I'm like jumping up and down and screaming like it's the Olympic finals. I'm, go Tatum, go, you know, making a spectacle. And victory is certain. And then, the most unexpected, unbelievable, unimaginable thing happened. Now, hold that image, because before I tell you what happened next, we need to talk about the race that you're running. A race that is exhausting you and isolating you and lying to you. If we haven't met, I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us. Hey, everyone tuning in online from grandmother's house or wherever you're snowed in the Midwest. Thanks for worshiping with us. We're glad you're with us. We're wrapping up our series called Counter Narratives. And this one's a doozy, y'all. You might be familiar with the gospel according to Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. If you ain't first, you're last. How did a line from a comedy become a philosophy of life? You know, on the surface, we laugh at it. It's funny. We dismiss it with a wink. Obviously, no one's looking to rob Ricky Bobby for a role model. But if we dig a little deeper, we might find that we just renamed this. Maybe you call it the Mamba mentality. Or you follow Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s philosophy, who said, second place is just the first loser. Here's the irony in that quote by the Intimidator himself. Earnhardt won his first cup championship in 1980 by finishing second or worse in 26 out of 31 races in the season. He won by losing 84% of his races. But we don't remember that part. We just run with the quote. It's catchy. And this mindset, it's everywhere now. It's, you know, it's Black Friday. Maybe you went shopping. People camped out, ready to trample each other for deals. Because if you're not first in line, you miss out. We've turned shopping into a competition. It's not just shopping. It's not just racing. It's not just sports. We rank everything. Schools and jobs and salaries, Instagram followers. We have turned life into a leaderboard. If we're not first, we feel like we're last. The race never ends. There's no time for rest because there's always another rung on the ladder to climb. Your worth is tied directly to your performance. How many likes you get. The pressure to perform makes you cut corners. Sometimes your integrity becomes the price of keeping up. And when life's a competition, everybody's the enemy. And no one can truly be your friend. Y'all, living like Ricky Bobby, this leaves us exhausted and insecure and alone. Ultimately, one of two things happens. You either crash trying to sustain some kind of win streak, or your losing streak beats you down until you become too weary to go on. But what if Jesus is inviting us to run a completely different race? One with a different scoreboard. A race with a prize that actually satisfies. If you are tired of running Ricky Bobby's race, it's time to run with Jesus. Let's look at what Hebrews chapter 12 says. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. And I pray that it would come alive to us this morning, that you, Holy Spirit, would quicken it in our hearts, that you would illuminate it, that you would make it apply to our hearts. We invite you to speak. And we invite you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Jesus, through the author of Hebrews, has a different race. A different race. Verse 1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." The word endure here, it actually appears in all three of these verses. Did you notice it? It's the author's whole point, that we do not become weary and give up. And notice what it does not say. It doesn't say run fast. It doesn't say run first. It says run with endurance. And that is a completely different race than the one we are compelled to run. In a culture obsessed with speed and being first, we push and hustle. We do whatever it takes to win. But the race God sets before us is about staying power, faithfulness, finishing well. The word that is translated endure in these verses, it literally means to remain under, to stay under the weight, to persevere when it's hard. This is the exact same word that Jesus himself used in Luke 21:19, where he said, "Stand firm and you will win life. Endure and you'll win." Stand firm. Like, this seems like the exact opposite of running a race. When's the last time you saw a runner standing firm in a race? But that's the point. This isn't about speed. This race is about spirit-empowered tenacity. It's about remaining under pressure until God's purpose is fulfilled. This race is measured in months and years, not seconds, minutes. It's measured in faithfulness, not first place, in endurance, not speed. Has God ever seemed slow to you? Like you find yourself running ahead sometimes, tired of waiting on his promises to pan out? Just me, apparently. We're in good company because that was God's design, the race he set before Noah and Abraham and Sarah. The race he set for Joseph and Moses and Rahab and David. If you want to get a sense of the race that God has designed for you, look at Hebrews chapter 11, right before this passage that we read. It summarizes the stories of heroes that kept their faith. Look at the stories that fill this room. The people of the vineyard who have experienced God's slow and faithful and persistent work year after year. That's the race he's set before you and me. Not to tease us, but to transform us and make us more like him. And even when we can't see the point, he has a plan. Here's the thing about divine plans. Are you ready? Our ability to understand them has nothing to do with how good they are. Divine plans. Like sometimes I think when I can't see them, that's the best plan. So let me ask you, have you been sprinting a marathon? Are you exhausted trying to keep up with everyone around you? You're running a race God never set before you. So stop. Change course. Run God's race. Because, number one, this is a different race. And secondly, this race has a different scoreboard. A different scoreboard. Verse 2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Whenever you take your eyes off of Jesus, you start to drift. Let me show you what I mean. We've got a short video. Check this out.
From this video, you can see it was very close at the end of this marathon in Japan. This is at mile 25.99. That's when the front runner took a right. What? You can see the race official trying to flag him. Didn't work.
Oh, he was following the truck.
No, he lost the lead and the race. He took a wrong turn.
Oh, no. A runner was cruising to victory. In first place, crushing it after almost 26 miles of the marathon. But for just a moment, he forgot where he was running. He took his eyes off of what mattered. He followed that truck, and it pulled him off track. That's what happens when we stop looking at Jesus. We drift. We think we're following good guidance, solid advice, proven strategies, but anything other than Jesus will eventually lead us astray. He is our true North Star. And here's the thing, we can't stare at Jesus and the scoreboard at the same time. It can't be done. Along the way, it's easy to drop our eyes and fixate on trivial things, looking at who's ahead, who's catching up. We look at other people's success and think that that's the finish line. We look at their timeline and we feel like we're behind. But verse 2 continues that Jesus is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He's not just a spectator cheering from the sidelines. He's the one to watch. The race designer, the pace setter, the perfect example. And how did Jesus run? How did Jesus run? Verse 2 says he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. In verse 3, it says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. He ran with endurance. In spite of rejection and mockery and betrayal, even when his lungs burned and his body broke and his legs gave out, he didn't quit, he didn't drift. He was obedient even to death on a cross. That's our measure. Not their successes or approval, Jesus. He's our champion who set the standard of perfection. The true scoreboard isn't a list of times to compare. It's him. He's the only metric that matters. When you fix your eyes on anything or anyone else, on what they have or where they are or how fast they're moving, you lose your way. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, on what he endured and how he ran, you find clarity. You see what really matters. Your course becomes clear. So here's the question. What are you watching? Are you watching the leaderboard? Or are you keeping your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith? That's a different scoreboard. But this race also has a different prize. Why did Jesus endure all of that shame and hostility? Why did he keep running in spite of all of the pain? Hebrews tells us because of the joy awaiting him. Jesus ran for joy. The joy of his Father's will fulfilled, his mission complete, his people redeemed. Isaiah said that he would see the fruit of his suffering and be satisfied. Jesus ran for the joy of being exalted to the place of honor beside the Father's throne forever. Jesus ran for joy. And aren't we all chasing that? Don't we all want joy? We try everything to get it, the house and the promotion and the next achievement, and we're accumulating and acquiring and hustling, striving, thinking that that's the prize. But it's a trap. You get it and immediately want more. It never satisfies because stuff was never meant to be the prize. Jesus is the prize. And joy is not simply what Jesus gives. Joy is who Jesus is. Psalm 16 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. That's Jesus, God with us, whose birth was hailed as good news that will bring joy to all people. St. Augustine said it perfectly. Listen to this quote. "For there is a joy not granted to the wicked, but only to those who worship you thankfully. And this joy, you yourself are. The happy life is this, to rejoice to you, in you, and for you. That is it, and there is no other." Jesus is the source of true eternal joy. And when that becomes clear, when Jesus himself is the prize you're running towards, it puts every other pursuit in its proper place. So verse 1 says, strip off every weight that slows us down and the sin that so easily trips us up. You can't run towards the real prize while clutching counterfeit ones. So what do you need to lay down? Approval? Achievement? Acquiring more? What sin is tripping you up? It's stopping you from running the race God has set before you. What's weighing you down and sapping your endurance? Strip it off. Lay it down, because none of it matters in light of the joy that awaits you. You're running toward Jesus. That's a different prize in a very different race that has a completely different scoreboard. So remember Tatum's 50-yard dash? You thought, I forgot. Like I was just gonna leave you hanging. No way. Here's the unexpected conclusion to that field day race. She was dominating, right? She was way out front and victory is certain. In a 50-yard dash, I think she was at the halfway point and had more than a 10-yard lead. It was bonkers. But then she looked over her shoulder and saw a friend falling behind. And she did something shocking. She slowed down. She let her friend finish first. And the Ricky Bobby part of my brain was just going crazy. Like, you could have won. What are you doing? My cheers shouted to like urge her on. Don't do this. But as I processed, I realized I was way more proud of this than any first place finish. Because in that moment, Tatum ran like Jesus. He saw us struggling, falling behind. No way we could even finish the race. And so he came for us. He slowed down. He left heaven and took on flesh. He endured rejection and betrayal and crucifixion. He slowed down for us. He took the loss so that we could win. Hebrews says he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. That's the race Jesus chose to run. As if anyone could have dominated, it was him. But time and time again, he chose to serve, not to be served. He chose the cross over the crown. And so when I finish my race, when I finally see Jesus face to face, there is one thing that I want to hear more than anything else. Not, "Well done, greatest servant." Not, "Well done, fastest servant." I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We must remember this is an entirely different race, and it's the only one worth running. Let's pray.